put no headstone on my grave.
A magazine that almost died is showcasing musicians who almost disappeared.
All my life I've been a slave.
Esther Phillips is one of those musicians. Her given name was Esther Mae Jones, and we're told that she was a slave to heroin in the years before she recorded this song. Financial problems nearly killed the Oxford American Magazine before it ever told us her story. The Southern Literary Magazine returned this year with, among other things, its annual music issue. There's a CD tucked inside the magazine with 23 selections of Southern music. The magazine investigates the stories behind those songs. Mark Smirnoff is the editor of the magazine, and he joins us from KUAR Radio in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mark, welcome.
Thanks.
So tell me about Esther Phillips, one of many, many stories of careers that were crashing and burning even as they were recording songs.
One thing we found out was that Ahmet Ertegün, the founder of Atlantic Records, said that she was his favorite singer. And yet here she was, you know, relatively unknown. And I guess one of our missions with the music issue is to re-recognize these outstanding but unfairly neglected artists.
Tell her that I'm finally free from all the trouble you caused me.
When you think about it, so much of American popular music came from the South. I mean, arguably, this is the place where jazz and blues and rock and roll and country music began. Therefore, it just seems an obvious area of compelling interest.
Tell me about Johnny Darrell.
This is a guy that is so good that he should have been famous as one of the Nashville Outlaws during the early and mid-70s.
When you talk about the Nashville Outlaws, you're talking about people like Kris Kristofferson, Willie Nelson.
Waylon Jennings,
people who kind of had a little bit of an outlaw image, may have taken a few illegal substances, broken a few laws, but they wrote some good songs.
Yeah. When you look at an artist, it's so easy to be caught up with the artist's life story and the tragedies. And you know, sometimes, for all we know, some of these artists may have been mean people. They may have been addicts of one sort or another. The only reason we might have interest in the life story of somebody like Johnny Darrell is if we happen to care about the quality of his music.
Well, now, it's interesting. I mean, this guy wasn't even named Johnny Darrell. I mean, the guy's name was Ed White, and according to your magazine, he actually changed his name to have a more marketable name, and the name that he chose was Johnny Darrell, which is such a forgettable name.
Right.
That I kept thinking, I love this song, but I couldn't remember the name. I had to look it up at least 7, 8, 9 times before I could remember it.
Tell me, baby, why you been gone so long? You been gone so long now. Tell me, baby, why you been gone so long? The wolf is scratching at my door and I can hear that lonesome wind. Tell me, baby, why you been gone so long.
Well, I'm sort of a sucker for these sort of happy Beatlesque riffs, which I think this song has. On top of that is this sort of gloomy voice that to me is sort of straining to be as happy as the music that surrounds it, but not quite succeeding.
One of the things I like about this CD is there's such a variety of music, such a variety of artists. I mean, we just heard a white Nashville musician. There are a lot of blues artists, few jazz artists on this CD.
Well, I tell you, that's the richness of Southern music. It's almost easy, in a sense, to put together a compelling CD on Southern music because there are just so many genres, so many possibilities. And that's what makes it exciting for us, is that we can mix all this together. You know, it's like when you go into a record store and everything is so severely cordoned off. You know, there's the R&B section, there's the rap section, there's the country section. And here we get to mix it in. And the great thing for me is being able to sneak good music onto people. Like some folks don't like country music, but they like blues. But they'll listen to this CD and find themselves enjoying inadvertently a country song or vice versa.
There are so many people that you introduce us to who were never even introduced by their real names. And here's another one, King Pleasure, as he was known.
goodbye, my darling. I knew I was wrong when I thought that you could return the same love that I have all for you, dear. But you still didn't care enough to ever try to love me. Why didn't you love me? Why didn't you ever love me?
This guy is a little bit mysterious, and there actually is not a lot known by him, at least that we or our writer could find out. The story goes that at the age of 4, in his little Tennessee hometown, Clarence Beeks had a dream/vision in which he was instructed to change his name to King Pleasure, and at the age of 4, he did so.
Happens all the time.
Yes.
In the South.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
To the lucky ones.
If I don't love you, baby, grits ain't grocery, eggs ain't poultry, and Mona Lisa was a man.
Wonderful essay in the magazine, Mark Smirnoff, about how your writer, who's a white kid growing up not in Chicago, discovered this music because one kid came to the school from Chicago who had found it somewhere and understood it, and he spread it around, and all of a sudden everybody loved Little Milton in this little high school in the middle of nowhere.
When you're dealing with a talent like Little Milton, maybe all you need is somebody to give you a little nudge. I mean, that song to me is just a masterpiece. It's got humor and soul and bounce. I don't know what more you really need from a song than that.
And it's Chicago.
Well, Lil Milton's actually Mississippian, but I think you would say that it's a Chicago sound, but with a distinctly Mississippi feel.
You've got quite a few selections on there that have that, although they're Southern music, they have that Chicago connection.
Yeah, or you could say that vice versa. I mean, you know, there's the Great Migration from Mississippi to Chicago that took place in the 40s and 50s.
You, in addition to these older artists, you threw in some newer artists, and one of them is a group called the Gourds.
I'm taking blood off my pants. My hands are shaky and my pillows damp. My hands are shaky and my pillows damp, yeah.
I just love that song because it was peppy in the right way. I also love the phrasing from the singer, who seems to use, in fact, this sort of old country style of singing, but then gives it these little twists. For me, his phrasing is very surprising, but effective. I have to say, I think it's just a great driving song. It's the kind of song that you would plop into your stereo in the car on a hot summer afternoon and crank loud and drive.
Can you tell me how Marilyn Monroe ended up on this CD of Southern artists?
I happened to be watching the movie Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, and there is a scene where Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell sing this song called A Little Girl from Little Rock. And when I first saw it, it just threw me down. I couldn't believe how enjoyable it was. I had never heard of it before.
Well, let's see if this song throws you down one more time.
It always does.
Just two little girls from Little Rock. We lived on the wrong side of the tracks.
Two girls from Little Rock, Jane Russell and Marilyn Monroe. They're part of the Oxford American CD, a sort of anthology of Southern music, not chosen because they're the most famous, not chosen because they're the most influential, chosen basically because the editors liked them. And in this case, I guess, because you've moved from Oxford, Mississippi to Little Rock, right?
Yes, we claim that it's our love song to our new town.
Mark Smirnoff is the editor of the Oxford American Literary Magazine, which is going to remain the Oxford American, not the Little Rock American, am I right?
Yes, I did toy for a few minutes with calling ourselves the Little Rocker, but We'll stick with the Oxford American.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
I learned an awful lot in Little Rock. And here's some advice I'd like to share.
From NPR News, that's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Who is
shy or bold, or short or tall, or young or old.
As long as the guy's a millionaire, for a kid from a small street, I did very well on Wall Street, though